moments, you would speak to each one of us. Pray that anything that is thought or said or considered that's not from you would be cast away, and what is from you would be settled in our hearts. Amen. So I am going to start by wishing you a happy new year, which might feel a slightly odd thing to say today, but we are at the beginning of a new church year. So we're at the precipice, looking forward to the next 12 months of all that God has for us individually and as a church. And I would love you to think back to the start of the church year last year. So that would have been the first Sunday of Advent, which was the 24th of November, 2024. Helen White was preaching. And I would love you to think back and imagine what you might have been expecting the next 12 months to hold. So there might have been things on your mind that were coming down the line, things you were expecting, things you might have been waiting for, perhaps anticipating, maybe a new job. It could have been you're waiting for your health to improve, maybe a release from a particular situation. And now I think about all that has happened in that 12-month period. I would imagine for most of us, some of those things we were expecting have happened, some haven't happened, some good things, some bad things. And there might be some things that you are still waiting for, things that you were expecting to come to pass that haven't yet. And that can be really painful, the waiting and the watching. So as always, the church year begins with the season of Advent, which is a season of waiting and watchfulness. So we're looking forward to Christmas, but also looking forward to Jesus' return, that his kingdom would be here in all its fullness. And the passage we've just heard encourages us to think about how we can ready ourselves in the waiting. So what can we do to be ready? We know that Jesus first came as a baby, and that regular, familiar nativity scene that we think of tends to be what we focus on during Advent. That's what happens at the end of it. And you know the path that Jesus trod for us through his ministry to the cross, his sacrifice, and that saving grace for each one of us. And in that moment on the cross, Jesus won a victory for all of us to enable us to live in his freedom and light, knowing that ultimately he defeated the enemy, the powers of darkness. And we celebrate that week by week at St. Mary's and in our lives day to day. However, at this point, we are living in between times. We know that Jesus has won, but his kingdom is not yet fully manifested here on earth. He will come again, but he hasn't arrived yet. And it's not like he's on the E1 bus and he's going to pitch up at the end of Church Road in 15 minutes. We've no idea when and how he will arrive. And in the meantime, we are waiting. We're hopeful, we're expectant, we're anticipating, but we are waiting. And while we wait, the spiritual battle rages on. So those powers of darkness are still at work and will be until Jesus returns. And there are many of us, many people who are living in the midst of enormous challenges. People without enough to eat, people who are homeless, living through conflict, feeling undervalued or taken advantage of. People living through all kinds of pain every day. And this is the reality that we are living in. And there will be people, part of this call today, who are living through some of these challenges. Life is hard in these in-between times, but as Christians, we have hope. The light shines in the darkness and the darkness does not overcome it. So, as people living in these in-between times, the waiting is at the front of our minds in Advent. There's darkness and challenge, but also hope. And the passage we've heard acknowledges that time of waiting. Herbert McCabe said, "We're not optimists. We do not present a lovely vision of the world which everyone is expected to fall in love with. We simply have hope because we know that God will bring life as he brought life out of the tomb of Jesus." Now, like many of you, I'm sure, I wear a number of hats at different times in the week, different times in the month and year. And one of the hats I wear is this one. I don't know if you can see that, but it's my street pastor's cap. I won't wear that for the rest of the time because it's actually quite hot. But I serve as a street pastor, volunteering with people from across a whole range of churches. So United Reform, Baptist, Seventh-day Adventist, and we patrol the streets of Brent at night, offering support to the people that we meet. And it could be someone who's lost their phone and their friends and can't find their way home. Might be someone who's had a bit too much to drink and is getting a bit rowdy and needs to be calmed down a bit. It could be a homeless person who hasn't had a conversation for days. The conversations we have are helpful, but I think the greater impact that we have is simply our presence. As trusted people who are visible and accessible in the middle of the darkness, both figuratively and literally. Because things are dark, but we're doing what we can to shine the hope of Jesus' love in the darkness. Just as a typical example, the last patrol I did was in Harleston and there was a huge amount of drug dealing going on, prolific prostitution. There was one girl we stopped with. She looked like she was in her late teens and she was in a doorway. We spoke to her for a few minutes, bought her a soft drink, and then we had to move on because her pimp was standing down at the end of the road and he was clearly getting impatient that we were getting in the way. Drugs were being bought and sold in a really open way, up and down the streets. We spoke to refugees who were grieving. They'd lost family and friends in civil unrest in their home country. They'd limited English and in their time in the UK, they had turned to drugs and were stuck in a cycle of addiction. And I'm sharing this with you because it occurs to me that everyone we spoke to was waiting for something in one way or another. Perhaps to be reconnected with family they lost touch with, for release from a situation they were trapped in, and for freedom from addiction. They were waiting and it was dark. And we did what we could in the moment, providing practical support, listening, praying and offering words of encouragement. And I'm telling you this not because what we did was particularly earth-shattering, but precisely because it wasn't. It was so simple, but it does make a difference to individual lives and to the community more widely. And it's not possible to measure the full impact of all of this. But we do know that crime drops dramatically after street pastors have focused on an area. So as an example, in Portsmouth, crime dropped by 60% in that area after street pastors started to patrol. And the only reason it made any difference is because of the hope we have in the light of Jesus' victory on the cross and the Spirit being at work while we wait for his return. We're all waiting corporately for Christmas and we're waiting for Jesus to return. And we'll all be waiting for things in our own lives. And in both senses, the waiting might be painful, it might feel dark. Waiting when we've been praying and crying out to God, how much longer, Lord? How much longer do I have to wait? Waiting when we feel alone. I'm just going to hold silence for a couple of moments and encourage all of us to bring to mind the things that we are waiting for. It might be a release from pain or release from anxiety or depression. A day when we feel stronger, waiting for our children to be more independent, maybe waiting for a baby, maybe waiting to see people that we love again, or just waiting for the spring. So just bring to mind the things that you might be waiting for in your own life, things on your heart. This time of waiting is not easy. But we are called to be making our hearts ready, and the waiting is part of that preparation. God is at work even through the difficult grind of getting through the days. We are waiting in an environment where things are not perfect. There is darkness and difficulty and pain, and Advent is a time to recognise that. But there is hope. Ultimately, Jesus has won the victory, and his Spirit is at work in the darkness. And we're not waiting alone. God is with us through it all, and we, as his people in this place, are waiting together. It may be that you can show some of that hope and light to the people alongside you who are in the midst of the waiting. Perhaps you could pray for someone who's struggling in their wait, or just listen to them. You could remind them that God is walking alongside them through the hurt and the challenge. And when I was preparing for today, I just got the sense that some people are waiting and they feel like their hearts are being broken by the wait, that it's too much to bear. And God is saying that he's with you. Your heart will be renewed, and he knows how difficult the wait is. We're all waiting for Jesus' return, and we're all waiting for things in our own lives. And as we wait, We ready our hearts by leaning on God in our struggle, being with others in our waiting, trusting that Jesus is with us and walking alongside us through it all. So let's just take a moment to pray as we reflect on our own times of waiting. Lord, we thank you so much for your promise that you will come again. Thank you that you have won the victory. Thank you that as we wait for you and for these things in our own lives, we know that we're not by ourselves. We know that you are with us. We can lean on you and trust in you. And we pray that in these times of waiting, we would be readied, that you would be at work in us, making us ready for that moment when you come back. And Lord, we just pray that for those of us who are in times of struggle, you would give us comfort and strength, even in this moment. Remind us of your overwhelming love for us and help us to keep moving forward with you. Amen. So I'm going to hand over.